No further ado, lesson 27, Rav Benny.
Thank you. We will have Im Yirtzeh Hashem shiurim. That is lecture number 27. We'll have three more planned, everything in time. So today I want to discuss with you Mizmor 137, a very difficult, extremely interesting, and meaningful one. Very difficult. Very difficult because for contextual interpretation, we will talk about the structure, the message, the ethical difficulties, which are really serious, you will see in a moment. And I think the answer comes from Jeremiah. And the narrative of Hallel HaGadol, which was so beautiful, I call it from 107 to 136, I call it the Israeli experience. With the topic on the river of Babylon and revenge against other nations, enemies, that's another music. It's not an Israeli experience anymore. It is something else. Very difficult to understand the contextuality and to understand the ethical justification. How does it continue afterwards? We have again a Hallel. We had already two and over and over. That is very difficult. No surprise that only 30 people are participant today because everybody was concerned it will be so difficult. You better don't face the problems. That I think is the real reason, right, Susan and Audrey? I wouldn't see another reason. They might be technical ones. I will actually try to answer these questions, but these are really challenging questions for our understanding of Tehillim as a story from the beginning at the end. Up to 136, fine. Afterwards, we run into real serious problems. And I would like to show that to you when we look at this graphic summary, which has a lot of details. If you print it out, you will see the analogies, and they are really helpful, I think, very specific, very detailed. But I will not address them in the class. They are too detail-oriented. However, I want to understand the flow. We had two Hallel coming back from the exile, the Egyptian Hallel. The Hallel HaGadol, the great Hallel, being in Israel. And the change is that we learned Torah and we are citizens of Yerushalayim, as we learned in the Songs of the Ascents. That changed the Hallel HaMitzri to the great Hallel. It's another attitude, it's another raison d'être. One is coming back to Israel from Egypt to Mimitzrayim, Yerushalayim, and the other one is being in Jerusalem. Being happy, creative, productive there, and opening the doors for other. That is the Israeli experience. And we saw connections between these units, which flow beautifully, very nicely. And so far, everything I hope was great. Now we run, that was the nice part, the lectures before, back to Yerushalayim and being in Yerushalayim and making an impact on this from Yerushalayim. Outside. Baruch Hashem Mitzion, Shochem Yerushalayim. He is blessed from Jerusalem. What does it mean he is blessed? We bless him and we enhance, we carry the blessing out to other places. That was so nicely summarized by Rav Kook's song, Shir HaEmunah, which is not connected at all to Tehillim, but actually meets exactly these points. Of coming back to the city where David lived, learning the Torah there, having the Torah there as our life, the center of our lives, and coming three times a year to Yerushalayim. We discussed that Hallel HaMitzri is like Pesach. We will say it in a few days. Shavuot is learning the Torah and coming to Yerushalayim with the first fruits. And Sukkot is opening our doors, which is similar to Pesach. And Hallel HaGadol is similar to Hallel HaMitzri. That is a nice summary for 107 to 136. The Israel experience. Return from the exile to Zion, rebuilding Eretz Israel, building up a new life, a meaningful religious, spiritual, national life. Terrific. That comes to an end here. Now we talk, oh, we were sitting at the river of Babylon. Are you back in Babylon now? Didn't we just came back from there? And you call for a revenge for all the other nations, which is in itself a very difficult ethical issue, strictly forbidden by the Torah. Lo tikom velo titor, it says in Vayikra 19. And that's what we do now. We go back to in history and go back to the exile, back in our terrible experience before we came back. What's the narrative? What's the mental setup that it's like everything collapses? These are serious questions. So again, we saw here the difference, which is so nicely that Halel HaMitzri, we ask Hashem, bless us, Yevarech et Beit Yisrael, Yevarech et Beit Aharon, Yevarech Yireh Hashem. He should bless us in Halel HaMitzri, and in Halel HaGadol, we should bless him. We grew up. That is great till here. But when we start with Al Narot Bavel 137, what happens? Let's read the Mizmor and try to find an answer, not an easy one. Al Narot Bavel, Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu Bezochreinu Et Tzion. Al Aravim Betocha Talinu Ki Noroteinu. Ki Sham She'elunu Shoveinu Divrei Shir. Vetol Aleinu Simcha. Shiru Lanu Mishir Tzion. Ech Nashir Et Shir Hashem Al Admat Necha. אם אשכחך ירושלים, תשכח ימיני. תדבק לשוני לחיקי, אם לא אזכרכי. אם לא אעלה את ירושלים על ראש שמחתי. זכור אדוני לבני אדום את יום ירושלים, האומרים ארו ארו עד היסוד בה, בת בבל השדודה, אשרי שישלם לך את גמולך שגמלת לנו. אשרי שיוחז, וניפץ את עולליך אל הסלה. Very tough words at the end. We see that we have three sections. In the exiles, the Jews from Zion, they are suffering in the exile. That is past. They came there, they lived there. What did they experience when they arrived there? And afterwards, in 5 to 6, there is a pledge for allegiance to Jerusalem. We are committed for Yerushalayim. We talk to Yerushalayim. We address Yerushalayim in person. And at the end, we ask Hashem, to against the wicked nations. Is it Hashem? Is it somebody else who is praised for doing that? A very difficult ethical question. So if you look at all these questions as summarized here, you will see after the return, we are back in the exile and talk in Babylon. That's what we have. That what is our take-home message. We came back from 107 to 136. A beautiful narrative, wonderful analogies, a nice flow of ideas. Halel HaMitzri, Halel HaGadol, and everything grows and flows beautifully. And now a total relapse back in the Gurus. What's the narrative? How can you go back from that? Is there a narrative in Sefer Tehillim? King David, he returns after the exile of Babylon and he goes back. King David, in the next section, he is back there. King David, didn't you just take us back to Yerushalayim? And afterwards, you're again around King David in the section 138 to 145. That's called the last collection of David, or collection 5. How confusing. Where's the narrative? You came back, you're in Babylon in 138 to 145, again with King David. The question of revenge, which is against the Torah, and killing the enemies in such a terrible, terrible way, innocent children, that's what we ask to do. These are tough questions. I'm wondering whether that is the time with all the questions to say, my friends, it was nice to talk to you. We had a good time so far. And now the story is over. No connection, no flow. The narrative is not only not clear, the narrative is destroyed. And the ethics that we are praised not to learn Torah, Ashrei HaEish, not to Ashrei HaAm, 145, That's what we do. It looks very black on the screen. And it looks that we should say now that we had a good time. That's it. It doesn't work. And that's exactly where I was for several years. But let's think it over. And let's think about intertextuality and contextuality. And I think what I tried to do you with the black screen, the first time the screen wasn't really full because it was time to think, is it over? But now I want to show you, if we don't understand the intertextuality and we don't understand the contextuality, it looks like that. I don't think that there are answers which you can give and which are really correct and satisfy are explaining all the difficulties. I don't think that there is a way out from all these questions. I really don't think so. In no way there is a way out, not to understand the flow of the narrative, which is just a technical academic approach. Is there a literature? Is there a story or not? It would be bad enough after 26 lessons to give up and say, forget it. But Mele, that we should go with that. But that we go and kill children, innocent children, and we throw them and walk, that is tough stuff. Therefore, I called it, is the Psalms, are they really a book? Not with Mizmor 137, it looks like. So let me take you now to a fascinating journey, I hope. And I want to make a clear point. There is a story, there is a flow, and the ethical issues are nicely resolved if we look at them in the right way. That is a really big challenge. We are always through on the 30 lessons. And now at the last number 27, we face a big problem. I assume that over the lessons, you got an understanding, a feeling, and the appreciation for the narrative effect. That seems to be totally gone in 137. But what I want to say is, the better the question and the more honest the question is, the better will be the answer, and you should tell me at the end whether what you think about it. First of all, let's analyze the text. Three times in the Mizmor, we have the term to remember. We remember Zion at the river of Babylon. And we promise we will remember Jerusalem wherever we are. And if we don't remember, there is no future. And then we ask Hashem, you please remember what Edom did to us when they destroyed Jerusalem. So that is one connection in the text. I jump to the next one. They asked us to sing. Sing us the songs of Zion. Shiru lanu mishir Zion. Shir Zion could be a nice song like Yerushalayim shel Zahav, a beautiful song by Naomi Shemer. No, the Shir from Zion is not just a song about Jerusalem, the beauty of Jerusalem. The song of Jerusalem is a Shir Hashem. Ech nashir et Shir Hashem al admat necha. So that's an important message of Shir. Do you remember other songs from the last few Mizmorim? We'll talk about it in a moment, the contextuality. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim, a'ale et Yerushalayim, et yom Yerushalayim. And we ask Hashem, he should pay back those who tried to destroy us and destroyed us. Sheyeshalem lach et gmulech. That's an interesting pun, that in Jerusalem will be justice. They will pay back for a Yerushalayim sheyeshalem lach. A very, very fine but meaningful message comes from the word al. Al is not very is not a very specific word, and certainly not a very unique one. It's a prefix. Al Narot Bavel. We were on the river of Babylon. Al Aravim Betocha. On the trees there, we put our instruments. We are Al Admat Nechal, far away. But once we will come back, and we promise we will come back to Yerushalayim, Al Rosh Simchati. It will be our highlight. There is no good way to translate the four times al, but you can hear that the al in the four repetitions here tell us a story. They ask us, V'tolaleinu simcha, mocked about us. Oh, you will never come back there. Just sing us a few beautiful songs in a very sadistic way. Sing us songs and I kill you there and you are in the exile. No, this simcha will actually come back. Al rosh simchati, never give up our hope. If you want to see pictures about this experience, you see here a very interesting reproduction of what we see from Sancheriv in Nineveh, the painting of the Jews in the exile. No surprise that Sefer Yonah, that Yonah was not very motivated to go to Nineveh and support the survival of Nineveh, because that's what the king of Nineveh knew to do a few decades later, after Yonah. He didn't want that to happen. And you see here Jewish children who are slaves. I cannot explain the typical signs, but that is what you will find online. And there are very, very interesting explanations on these paintings. And here comes a very powerful painting. That is a Syrian soldier, and these are Jews, and they have instruments. And they have to sing a beautiful song of Zion when they come to the exile. That's what they did with them. They don't care about music, but they want to cause more and more pain to the Jews who had to leave their homeland. And they have to sing the song of Yerushalayim, Shkisham she'ilunu ta'olaleinu divrei simcha, shiru lanu mishir tzion. That reminds me the picture, which we know from the Holocaust period, I don't know what happens now. Here it is. Oh, I see why. Here you will find that you will find the pictures here. And that's what you see here, the pictures from the Holocaust period that Jews had to sing when they were ups. I'm sorry for that. That Jews had to sing. Songs of death when they killed other Jews, they had to play the music for it. That is a terrible example, unfortunately, a few thousand years later. You have to sing it, and they say, I don't want to sing the songs of Zion. A terrible experience. What is the answer for all that? I think we find the answer, and here we come to a fascinating method. We look at the text, we remember the rest of the context of Tehillim, contextuality, and we have to think about other places in the Bible, intertextuality. Quite a challenge. After such a mizmor with so many problems, where do we start? Baruch Hashem, the translation of the Septuaginta, helps us. And what you see here, this Mizmor al Naharot Bavel has no title. It's not dedicated to anybody. But in the Septuaginta, we have To David Yeremion. That is a Mizmor of David based on Jeremiah. It's worthwhile to read the Septuaginta. The Gemara explains in Masechet Megillah Daf Tet that the Septuaginta was written by our sages. And here we have really a rescue procedure, that the Septuaginta leads us in the right direction. It's a fascinating technique, and you will see how beautifully it works. Yirmiyahu, as a person who appears in our prayers, is well known from the Kinot on Tisha B'Av. Az b'haloch Yirmiyahu al kivrei avot, v'nam matzamot chavivot ma'atem shokvot, b'nechem galu uvatechem charevot. A beautiful poem that Yirmiyahu comes after the destruction and he prays to Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. He talks to all the people buried on the cemetery, and he prays to Moshe and he prays to everybody. What happened? That's Jeremiah. And here you see him from in the painting of Rembrandt. Now let's take a look. Where do we know Yirmiyahu? If it's true that 137 is connected or written by Yirmiyahu. Yes, at the very end of the Bible, at the very, very end of Sefer Divrei HaYamim, Chronicles, the last king was a bad king. He did not do what Hashem wanted from him. Sorry, not what Hashem wanted from him. What Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Mipi Hashem, wanted from him. And afterwards, there was a galut, an exile, for 70 years, as it is written in Yirmiyahu. And afterwards, when that was done, Cyrus called the Jews back, and it is promised in Yirmiyahu. So Yirmiyahu is both the prophet of the punishment, of the exile, but at the same token of the return. It happened, the exile happened, and now we hear Yirmiyahu, he talks from his spiritual world. And we have a chapter in Yirmiyahu, which we should read in much detail, both chapters, chapter 50 and 51. And I can just tell them here very, very briefly what it says there. But we have actually a full sentence that is intertextuality at the best. In Yirmiyahu, it says at the end, God will punish Babel. They will be punished for all the terrible atrocities they did during the war and the exile and the destruction of the Jewish people. Vayal nesi'im miketzei aretz barakim lamatar asa. God is has full control over the world, heaven and earth. That's what he's going to do. No idols, no war anymore. That is what it says in Yirmiyahu. And he will come and he will punish Babel. It's the same pasuk which we saw in 135 that Tehillim says, Ma'ale nesi'im mikzeh ha'aretz. Brakim lamatar asa motze ruach meotzrotav. What Yirmiyahu promised, Tehillim approves and witnesses it. God does it. We will come back. We are in Eretz Yisrael. The fact that we are in Eretz Yisrael is the reconstruction, the reestablishment of our previous kingdom. And we have in Sefer Yirmiyahu 10 times the word Nipetz. What we saw before at the end of 137, where the Mizmor said, praiseworthy is who will take and dash your infants against the rock, which is by definition a difficult translation, but I show you what it means. To dash. In Yirmiyahu, it says that Hashem will dash all the war, all the weapons. And look here, 9 times the word lenapetz, to dash, appears. Venipatzti b'chaguyim v'hishchati b'chamam lachot. Venipatzti b'chasus v'rochvo. Venipatzti b'charechev v'rochvo. Venipatzti b'chaish v'isha. Venipatzti b'chazaken v'nar. Venipatzti b'chabachur v'tula. Venipatzti b'charoe v'edro. Venipatzti b'chaitar v'tzimdo. Venipatzti pachot usganim. God will dash everybody who is for war. Not one person, whether it's a fighter, it's a commander, a soldier, or whether it is a man or a woman or an old man or a child. No war anymore. That is what Hashem promises. V'shilamti lebavel ulachol yoshvei kasdim et kol ra'atam asher asu b'tzion le'enehem ne'um Hashem. And I will polish them. V'gilgaltich min haslaim. And I will throw you down from the Sela. I will not translate Sela with rock. It's misleading. It means rock. It's misleading. V'rinenu al Babel shamayim va'aretz. And Babel will be punished. And Babel will be called v'chol asher bahem. Ki mitzafon yavola hashodedim ne'um Hashem. So what is hashodedim? What does it mean? Hashodedim is Babel Hashduda, thief daughter of Babel. That is exactly the same word. And what happens to the Jewish nation? Zichru merachok et Hashem, v'Yerushalayim ta'aleh al libchem. You should remember, Jews, come back in the Lach. Time to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Remember from far away, God. And you should always remember in your heart Yerushalayim. And God will destroy the terrible nation of Babel because they killed you. And God will bring us back and Yeshalem, Yeshalem. And the walls of Babel, they will be destroyed. Ar'er tit ar'ar. Whatever ar'er tit ar'ar means exactly grammatically, to destroy. Rashi, who had a good understanding, a perfect control about Hebrew language in the Bible and Chas, he says, ar'er tit ar'ar. It's the same language as aru aru ad yesod ba. Now we understand 137. When we sit in Babel, and we remember that we were sitting there, and we had the message from Jeremiah, at the end they will be punished, and we come back. We remember we came back. But we remember all the pain and all the exile. And Yom HaShoah is a day we will never forget, despite that we are in Israel. And we will educate the children to remember what it means destruction, what it means suffering. And we will remember that because once we were in Babel. The Jewish people knows how to remember history. We know remembering Pesach, the exodus of Egypt, and when we come back to Eretz Yisrael and we fulfill what Jeremiah promised that we will come back. We remember not only this happy end by Jeremiah, we remember the whole story that we went to Babylon to the exile because we misbehaved and therefore we were punished. Understanding Tehillim 137 without Jeremiah 51 is impossible. It leaves us with questions that the only reaction we could have, run away. There's nothing to understand. The translation of the Septuaginta connecting it to Jeremiah is not stum, just to give it a title. It is Yirmiyahu who talks here, but Yirmiyahu, whatever he said, Tehillim took it further. When we come back and everything is great in Eretz Yisrael, and we enjoy a tremendous Israeli experience from 107 to 136, we remember the past. We don't forget. We increase our awareness for this miracle by remembering where we came from. Therefore, we remember the suffering, and we go for a walk in the Yad Vashem Museum, and we remember all the story in the past. Now we know to appreciate our present, and we know to build our future. That is an incredible message. And whoever had questions, I trust, whether these intertextual connections are meaningful or not, there is no way out. In Yirmiyahu, it says, you remember it, pleitim micherev, the survivors of the sword. Yirmiyahu uses this word, pleitim micherev, and he uses also the word in Jeremiah 31, Am Sridei Cheret, those who survived the sword, the Cheret. That's, of course, a hint to Sancheriv. Sancheriv, the big king. But who is the big king for us? It's not the big king Sancheriv. It's the guy with the sword who destroyed and killed and did the final solution with us. We remember that very, very well. And now you will see that a person who was sitting and crying and remembering Zion, as we say in verse 1 of 137, are found only in Nehemiah, the first chapter. When he starts his career, he said, I was sitting in Babel, I came to the king, and I was fasting and praying to Hashem, and I said, and I cried, I screamed. And Tidbat Leshoni Lechiti is, and we have I will come back to that later. And Tidbak Leshoni Lechiti, we remember in Eicha that the babies, the infants, didn't have food and water to drink. And their tongue dried out because there was nothing to drink and nothing to eat. That should happen to me if I don't come back to Yerushalayim, if I stay still in the Galut. It will take me back to the third time where Tidbak Lashom Elchech is mentioned in Yecheskel, and there it says, when you are in the Galut, you have a dry mouth, you can't talk, you can't be active, you're in the exile. These three appearances are extremely, extremely meaningful to me, very, very clear. Tidbak l'shoni l'chiki means all the suffering is not over and all the galut experience is not over. So if I want to take the Jews out of the exile, I have first to take out the exile out of the Jews. We have a new experience in Eretz Yisrael. Commit to Yerushalayim, commit to come back to Yerushalayim and to bring justice to yourself by coming back and all the nations who try to kill us by not, they should be punished. And here we come to a fascinating explanation. Yes, it sounds very, very immoral that we pray. Happy is who will take and dash your infants against the rock. Terrible. That is not an invitation for human beings. Jeremiah said very clearly, it's only Hashem who will do that. And who is asked to do it here in Tehillim? It's not apologetics that I have nothing to say, so I say just something to understand, to try to give a lousy explanation to the Bible. It says it very clearly, Zechor, Hashem, you should do it. You should do it. I don't invite any human being to come and kill and take revenge. Not at all. I ask Hashem, do what you promised in Jeremiah. I quote him. I remind him. I remind him by the same words, by the same language, and the same pasuk. Now, who are these all alive, these infants? But Bavel, in verse 9:8, is thieving daughter of Babylon. Who is the daughter of Babylon? Does Babylon have daughters and sons and sisters and brothers and cousins and grandchildren? No. But Bavel is a poetic description of those who are supporters and proud citizens of Bavel. And the same way, the same point is true for Bnot Yerushalayim. Shama v'tismach Tzion v'tagelna Bnot Yehuda. The children, the daughters of Yerushalayim, are not daughters. They are all the suburbs, all the supporters of Yerushalayim. Everybody who feels he is a citizen of Babel, whether he lives there or outside. And Bnot Yerushalayim are those who live there or are outside. Everybody who supports the terror, the city of terror of Babel, he is a daughter of Babel, and he will be punished. No compromise. Ashrei she'eshalem lach et gmulech she'gamalt lanu. God, you should do that. The city of terror needs to be destroyed. Don't leave them alive. Ashrei she'yochetz v'nipes v'nipetz et olelaich el asala. Why on the rock? Against the rock. Because if we remember, why do we mention here Edom? We talk about Bavel, Al Naharot Bavel, on the river of Babylon. Who talks about Edom? It's another geographical area and another historical political place. But Edom were the close neighbors of Yerushalayim. When they came from Bavel and destroyed from the north, they helped from the south. And they were very active. We call that in the wars and the Holocaust, the collaborators. They did a great job. When they came to Eastern Europe, in Ukraine and Slovakia, the Germans didn't have to do a lot. It was all done by the local enemies. They did a great job. And what's the city of Edom? The city of Edom is Petra. It's a translation of the word Sela. Ashrei sheyochez v'nipetz et olalaich al ha-Sela. The same token that Babel is addressed with the daughters, Edom is addressed with Sela, because that's the main city, the powerful city, which was strong as a Sela. Worthwhile to read a little bit in biblical archaeology on Petra and on Sela. And now we understand it very clearly. Every organization and every political group who continues the atrocities of Edom, you should bring them to Petra, and this city of terror will be destroyed, and everybody who continues, yes, they are called the children of the city, they will be punished in the same way. If you think that is apologetics, what I'm telling you now, just go and read what it says in Yirmiyahu 49, and what it says in Ovadia, Shochvi b'chavei ha-Sela. and we talk about Edom. That is the meaning. That is a poetic description, yes, very, very full of feeling of pain, of being killed by Edom. We are the victims of Edom and of Babel. We will not forgive them. We will make peace for everybody who is willing to make peace. But there is justice for the nations. We will not give up. We are not those from the Galut. That is actually, that is the main meaning of this pasuk. And let me tell you that, yes, I have a lot of associations to the Holocaust and to Yerushalayim and Shivat Zion. You see here in Bergen-Belsen, Adolf Eichmann. He is there and enjoys to see how they cut the hairs, the face of the Jew. He was in charge to kill all the Jews. And he came to Jerusalem, and there was justice in Jerusalem. And Eichmann in Jerusalem, there was a long court, a long process, and he was killed. And that is justice, not revenge in the sense, tikom nakom titom, nakom titom. God makes justice. And there was a back and forth, a long time, very difficult, emotionally difficult. Let me share with you a wonderful commentator, Leslie Allen, who said the following in his commentary to 137, very moving. The citizen of a European country who has experienced its invasion and destruction or victim of the Holocaust would be the best expositor of such psalms. The passion that drops in every line is the fruit of powerless suffering. Is it ignoble? And he says later on, a very, very beautiful, powerful explanation. It gives a lot of sense. Such texts as these in the Old and New Testament are given to readers in the throes of disorientation, not to those basking in the seasons of orientation or reorientation. P.D. James in her mystery Original Sins has a character say to her Jewish colleague, if I had a God, I'd like him to be intelligent, cheerful, and amusing. He said, I doubt whether you'd find him much of a comfort when they herded you into the gas chambers. You might prefer a God of vengeance. I don't agree with the wording of James. It is a God of justice. It is a God who knows Jeremiah 51, and he remembers that. You will be punished, but those who punished you, Babel, they don't do that unpunished. There is a Dayan, Yesh Din veYesh Dayan. That is the message. We are not calling for vengeance. We are calling for justice. Zechor Hashem, it is you and is your city. We came back from a long journey of suffering. But if we come back, we want to make sure that it will never happen again. Everybody who continues Babel and everybody who continues Edom, he should be punished the same way as Babel, as you promised to punish Babel and all other evildoers, because there is a judge and there is justice and there is an international understanding about justice. That is the message of 137 if we look at its intercontextuality. Now let's take a look on the contextuality, and you will see how it flows beautifully. We had what we called the Israeli experience coming back to Zion. What did we say in 120 to 134? We had a wonderful, wonderful unit of the songs of the essence, Shir HaMa'alot. We came back. We sing what we sing when we come back. What is, and in Shir HaMa'alot, I say, Samachti be'omrim li beit Hashem melech. And we come back there, and we sing there, the Shir HaMa'alot. In the Halel HaGadol is the most beautiful song, because 26 lines repeat, Ki lo olam chasdo, ki lo olam chasdo. You can almost listen to the singers in the temple if you read 120, 136. These songs brought us back. These songs are the highlight of the return to Zion, and these songs are the answer to the diaspora. As long as we were in Babylon and they asked us to sing, songs in Babylon, songs about Zion, Mishirei Tzion, Mishir Tzion, et Shir Hashem. We cannot sing there. We are in the exile. The only place where we can sing is Eretz Yisrael. That is what 136, 137 comes to teach us. 135 says, Hashem Simcha Leolam, Hashem Zichrecha Ledor Vador, Shebeshifleinu Zachar Lanu Ki Leolam Chasdo. God, you remember. You remember our past. You remember our covenant with Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you brought us back. That's what we pray for. Not only for us who came back to Eretz Yisrael, we pray that for the diaspora, all the Jews in the exile. We pray that they should remember. Every Jew in the diaspora should remember as well, the same way Hashem remembered. That's a continuum. Hashem remembers. Hashem remembered in the past and brought us back. Everybody who lives in the exile, he should remember all the history of the exile, and he should remember where his place is. Im lo eskerechi, I come back to Yerushalayim. We discussed that in the flow of 136, that at the very end of 136, Shebeshifleinu Vayifrikeinu, it is actually talking at the end of 136, at the end of last week's lecture, I said that Vayifrikeinu Mitzareinu is he saved us from our tzarot, but the word he saved us, Vayifrikeinu, is Aramaic, because we think not only about ourselves in Israel, in our Israel experience, we think about all Jews living in the diaspora. Now look how beautifully it flows now, if we have this understanding. Yes, with 135 and 136, we have the Halel HaGadol, which is the highlight and the closure of coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Book 5 and the entire book of Tehillim. Baruch Hashem Mitzion Shochen Yerushalayim, hallelujah. That's the close. We come back. But now we say we came back. We have a commitment to the diaspora. We have a commitment to make justice in Chutz La'aretz, both for the Jews, and we have a commitment also for those from the other nations who want to learn these messages and be part of the next Hallel, not of the Hallel HaGadol, of the Psukei de Zimra, which is the Hallel for the entire world. And that is the powerful message of these Mizmorim. I want to show that to you now. If you see how that flows, we think about the entire world. We ask for justice with Babel and Edom, and King David comes back. And King David is going to the entire world and teaches them justice, monotheism, bring back respectfully the Jews to Eretz Yisrael. And if that happens, King David, from 138 to 145, the last collection of King David, yes, that is the Midrash King David. It's the prophetic King David who wants to bring us back in the same style he lived in book 1 and 2, in the same style he acted afterwards. He has a great future career to bring all the nations back to Eretz Yisrael, what he did for us. That's a beautiful narrative. And at the end, we sing the Hallel, not that we came out of Egypt, Hallel HaMitzri, not that we are now in Egypt. It is the Hallel for the entire world. Kol ha-neshama t'hallel ya hallelujah. This flow of the three Hallel is a masterpiece of contextual interpretation and is a masterpiece of biblical poetry and biblical philosophy, I think. And look how beautifully Mizmor 145 has two titles, Tehila leDavid. It is the praise of David. David is the topic from 138 to 145. And King David, who is reborn, who is reestablished, who brought Am Yisrael back to his past role, he will invite afterwards, keep singing Tehila. The first Mizmor, which is called Tehila in Sefer Tehilim, is 145. That's the link. Everybody should say Hallelujah, Hallelujah 10 times in the last Hallel. That's a masterpiece of flow. So King David brings them back from the diaspora. You will say, oh, I'm giving here my Midrash explanations, but intertextuality proves what I say, because in 143 it says, Hoshivani b'machashakim kimetei olam. The word, God put me in darkness, and I was dead forever. These words in 143 are a quotation from Echa, b'machashakim hoshivani kimetei olam. In 143, he asked for Ruchacha Tova, Tancheini Be'eretz Misho. I think I made a mistake here with the reference. Ruchacha Tova, with your good spirit, bring me back to Eretz Yisrael. That is exactly, it appears only twice in the Bible, Ruchacha Tova. So these words from 134, 138 to 145 is really the exile experience, and King David brings us back. How interesting. The Septuaginta say that those words is a psalmos to David, is a psalm for David, and it is said by Zacharion, by Zechariah. Zechariah is the prophet who brought back Am Yisrael at the Second Temple period. So the Septuaginta again gives us the key. It's King David's spirit who brings us back to Eretz Yisrael. I want to show you now, please don't print that out. I forgot to take out here Shem Hashem. But I want to show you here a few connections with 137, not only as a closure of the previous part, but as an opening for the last David connection. In Bavel, we can't sing. So what happens? They laughed at us. You should sing songs of Jerusalem. And here we have one of the most powerful connections, that in 138, the Mizmor says, I go and I will teach all the nations. And one has to be clear, as Rabbi Hirsch, to translate, Le David, Odcha b'chol libi, neged Elohim azamereka. I will sing for you against all other gods. I think that is the correct translation. I translated here the German text from Rav Hirsch, and he says, I will go to all the nations, and I have no problem to educate those who have false gods, Elohim. I believe only Odcha b'chol libi, against all others, I will sing for you. And I will educate and bring all other nations back to you. You know what I will tell them? Yoducha Hashem kol malchei aretz ki shamu imrei ficha. All kings from the world will thank you because they heard you. Ve'yashiru v'dachei Hashem ki gadol kvod Hashem. They will think. They will sing. Can you imagine? In the chapter before, they asked me to sing and I couldn't sing. I'm in the exile. It's a pain to sing in the exile. How should I sing in the exile? And look what the nations did to me. And King David comes back and says, one day, you, all nations, you will sing and you will see the beautiful songs of Hashem and you will be part of these songs. That is not revenge. That is opening the doors and telling all the nations, you can be part of the community to worship Hashem. Not divrei shir v'shirei hollelut. It is everybody can sing. And you remember from chapter 87 that all nations will be invited to come back. One of the nations who will come back to Yerushalayim to worship Hashem is Babel. We don't have a revenge to Babel. But justice is the highest rule. If you come back to kill us, no way. You come back and you want to worship Hashem together, be our guest. You will be a citizen of Yerushalayim, 87. And the next chapter is 144, says, King David is singing now, Elohim Shir Chadash Ashir Allah. And I will invite all other kings to come back because Yoducha Hashem Kol Malchei Aretz in 138, all the nations, all the kings will be part of it, and David will sing, you saved me, mi b'nei nechar. What is b'nei nechar? When I lived in the exile, you brought me back. I cannot sing in the exile. And King David says, you brought us back. These mizmorim flow in the world's most wonderful, meaningful way. Instead of Ashrei sheyeshalem lach at the beginning, we have twice Ashrei ha'am shekachalo. In the next week's Mizmor 145, you will see that the words Yoducha Hashem kol malchei aretz, all kings and nations will sing, not only the kings, Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha, everybody will sing Hashem. That is the last Hallel. I opened the door with no feelings of revenge, only a feeling of justice. The feeling of justice is the overriding concept. And I'm happy we are back in Eretz Yisrael. The Israel experience was terrific from 107 to 136. Never forget the Jews in the diaspora. Never forget history, what happened with Babel and Edom. And even they, once they are punished and the evildoers are not around anymore, invite them. It is King David who will bring them back in his last full role, which he has in Tehillim, in 138, 8 to 130, 145. King David is the king for all the nations. Why? Because it says, Hanoten Teshua Lemelachim. All kings will benefit from King David. He is the most international, cosmopolitical king for all the nations. And he will invite in Tehillah le David, Vivarech Kol Basar, Shem Kodesho Leolam Vaed. All flesh will think. Not only the Jews. And at the end it says, Kol ha'neshama ta'el aliyah. We are approaching the highlight and the end point of Sefer Tehillim. So if we look at these units together, and we see that that is the flow of the last David collection, which is the beginning, the last David connection for the last Hallel. We will continue with this slide afterwards. Yes, because we opened our horizons, having returned from the exile to Zion, 107 to 136, is by far not enough. We have to take care of Jewish history, of the Jewish diaspora, and all the nations, including those who killed us. They who told us we should sing, and we couldn't, they have to sing as well. That is the big challenge of the beautiful closing of Sefer Tehillim in this flow, which I cannot elaborate now. What we saw is the structure and the message of 137. To me, no way to understand them if you don't look at them in the intertextuality to Jeremiah. We are the shlichim, we are the messengers. We pray for Hashem, please, what you promised to Jeremiah, it's now time to do it. We are willing to fulfill it. You will punish. Never, ever, human being will punish. We will do justice in Jerusalem. It fits perfectly to the narrative of Hallel Gadol and 137, opening our horizons. It takes King David in his last collection five, a king who is not only taking care for Yerushalayim and for Am Yisrael, he takes care for the entire world. Ki beiti beit tefilai kare lechol ha'amim. Please remember, these were exactly the messages which we saw in the Haggadah for Pesach, that from Hallel HaMitzri, we say after the meal, we say Hallel HaGadol, and we close the Hallel HaGadol with the bracha Nishmat Kol Chai, because Nishmat Kol Chai is the closing bracha for the Hallel HaGadol. That is the beautiful flow from our story out of Egypt, our rescue and redemption from Egypt, that we are back in Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael we work for the entire world. What a wonderful message before Pesach. What a wonderful message for the election this week. What a wonderful election for every Jew and every human being who is invited to say Hallel together with us, much not only those who are part of it. That was the Shi'ur number 27, and Shi'ur 28 and 29 will deal with Tehillim, a well-known Mizmor, and the following five Mizmorim. And at the end, we'll have a summary. I'm open for wishes, for suggestions. We had some ideas. Please email me or email to Audrey and Susan, and hopefully it will be a meaningful closing of this Shi'ur. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. Just before Susan takes questions, I just want, first of all, I want to apologize. I understand I messed up with the email and that I put in the wrong time for it to go out. So it went out late, which is especially Erev Pesach. That's not a good thing. So I mean, I'm glad you're all here, but I apologize really for the people who aren't here, but that's enough. I'll send us another email. But so while I'm saying that, just a reminder, there will be tomorrow night, please God, Moshe Sokolov will be giving a shiur at 8 o'clock, whether or not I send the email. And Thursday, we're going to have the Parsha Shir at 11 a.m. I'm going to give that Shir this week. Instead of 8:30 at night, which is Bedikat Chametz time, we'll do it at 11 a.m. So I think even that's before Bedika in Israel. I hope that can sneak in if people get an opportunity to come. But so I'll be giving that Shir at 11. So those are the two Shirim we have after this for this week. And Dr. Benny will be giving a Shir next Tuesday, Chol HaMoed Pesach, at 12:15 Eastern time, which will be 7:15 in Israel because you'll be changing the clock. And again, whether or not the email goes up, but I hopefully after 400 emails, I think Zoom classes are, I think we're entitled to make a mistake once in a while. So I do apologize for that. Anyways, okay, Susan, you can take over all the questions. I don't even see them on the chat box. Bakasha, thank you, everybody.
Okay,
and thank you, Benny, again, of course.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Jay. Thank you so much, Rabbi Benny, for this very interesting class. There was a lot of chat on the chat. There was a lot of discussion on the chat regarding, I'll go through it in order. Audrey and Judy had a discussion about the word, where you started off with the word al and the repetition of the word al. So do you know if the word olalecha relates to the word al, or is it a separate root? So that was the first question.
Who asked this wonderful question?
That was Audrey. And Audrey. Judy
said Audrey, thank you very much for asking that. That is, that's an interesting question. I wanted to say that also the word gmulech, who pays you back, your gmul, what you did, is a word of kidgamul alai imo, which we had in 130, Mizmo 131. There are a lot of very interesting puns. I said that I was hesitant to say that because I like a word which is really al. To connect that to olalaich is another word, but I thought about it. But thank you very much, Audrey, for giving this idea. Possible. I cannot say more. Gmulech can certainly be also a message who repays you back. Leshalem lach gmulech, but it's also a gamul. Okay.
Very good. Thank you. Just to understand exactly, so it's not the same source. It's a different shoresh, or
yes, olalim is a beautiful shoresh ma'alotav odiu va'amim alilotav. It's not going up el al up high. Mm-hmm. Olalim is being active. Alila. Seret Alila today is an action movie. And in Tehilim 105, it says, Hodiu v'amim alilotav. So a little baby is, or it is a yonek, an infant who is breastfeeding. Tinok is a yonek. And olelaich is a baby who does a lot. Always active. He takes all the glasses and destroys everything what is in his horizon. He is active. No rest. Not one single rest. That makes a lot of sense. Olelaich, the active baby. If there is any active offspring of Edom, he will be punished. So it's not a tinok, it is a olelaich. And it makes sense that it is a mashal, it is an analogy, not for the child, it's an analogy for the offspring of Zion. Very, very interesting. We are going to say Shir HaShirim. And Shir HaShirim, that would be a great, great field for intertextuality, because I think that Shir HaShirim could be explained, the daughters of Zion, which I saw at night, and they were asking, where is my beloved one? Of course, these are persons who are walking around in Yerushalayim, but they are B'not Yerushalayim, all those who are connected to Yerushalayim, not necessarily a person walking around. It can be a community out there. So the play between the analogy, HaMashal v'HaNimshal, is very, very meaningful. It has nothing to do to take a child and throw it on a rock. It has to do, everybody who will continue the city of terror will be punished because he identifies himself, and every neo-Nazi will be treated like a Nazi. It had nothing to do. Sorry.
I'm sorry. You were going to say?
No, no.
Okay, so that brings me to the next question between the person who's identified as iPad and Judy, which is, I mean, it's difficult. This, you were right when you started and said that this is a difficult concept. So we have, we pray to Hashem, right, that we say that we request vengeance, that Hashem, that we don't take the vengeance, Hashem takes the vengeance, but the idea came up, what about praying that injustice should be prevented and the cruelty, even if it's, you know, there's cruelty towards us, there's cruelty towards others. It's a very difficult, true concept, but very difficult. So how do we understand that?
Is that the message from 703?
Is that the message from 703?
If we pray for vengeance or justice.
Yes. And then there were messages before that regarding, that was coming. I could read it to you exactly. It says, does it really matter if we do the dashing of innocent babies or we pray that Hashem does it? It is still a bad thought, idea, action, perpetrators, yes, collateral effect, but yes. Deliver cruel actions, no. And then Judy responded, it's very different if we say the vengeance is requested from God than if it is, then it is implicit. So we must do it. Only God can do it. So then we have this, you know, back and forth, which yes. I think we struggle with on a daily basis, right? About evil in the world and God punishing the perpetrators and then children are killed. Like, how do we, you know, how do we work with that?
I understand the difficulties to understand, to accept this new way to look at that. But the question is so strong that the Torah says clearly, lo tikom velo tito. There is no place for vengeance. What it says here is clearly dictated and explained only by Jeremiah 51. We don't understand the words. Sela is not the rock where we kill. It is the city of Edom. And there were a very cruel nations. Yes, there were a lot of fights between Edom and Jerusalem. But nobody asked to take a baby. It is God who will fulfill chapter 51. Please read chapter 51 carefully. Take two Bibles. On one hand, 51 in Jeremiah and 137 in Tehillim. And at the end, you will see they merge together. And you will see how much identity there is. They talk together. Whatever Hashem promised, one day I will pay back to the cruelty, to the atrocities, to the crime of Babel. That is the need to put Eichmann in Jerusalem in court. It has nothing to do to take a baby. But Babel is not the baby, the daughter of Babylon. It is an analogy. It is a homely mashal. It is a term how to describe all the followers of Babel. And the olalaich of Edom are all those who keep doing what Edom did. They will be punished. Nobody is killed, is invited to kill personally and to take vengeance. By no means. The opposite is true. King David teaches us in the next Mizmor, we should ask them, we should educate all the nations. Please sing. Yesterday, you didn't allow me, you wanted me to sing in Babylon to humiliate Am Yisrael? No, you will sing. All the nations should sing. What a wonderful message. It's not the spirit of to punish them. It's the spirit in the next Mizmor. Invite all the nations. All the nations will have Hanoten Teshua LeMelachim. That's the flow. That is the continuum. I take revenge. Only God does it, Yirmiyahu. So if somebody, and that is the Rambam, had a very clear message. If you don't understand the Bible in the context, you come to wrong conclusions. Why? It says, "Va'avadatem Elohim acherim." In Kriyat Shema, it says, "You should serve idols." It's not true. It says in Kriyat Shema, "You should beware, because if you don't do that, you will serve idols." Don't take it out of the context. Here we have the first time the opportunity to understand and to read Tehillim in a continuum. Now we understand what it means. 137 is make what you promise, fulfill your promise, Hashem, from Jeremiah 51. And what is our job in the future? King David tells me later on, invite all the nations, they should sing. You blocked me from singing. You didn't let me to sing the Shir Hashem. I will come back to Jerusalem and will make sure that everybody will sing. V'yashiru v'dachei Hashem. It is such a powerful new way. I agree that that is a new way to look at Sefer Tehillim. I have no chance to look at that, to look at Sefer Tehillim in another way than this way. It doesn't make sense to me. I would close the course on Tehillim if that is not the flow of 137. It continues. Was I a little bit clear?
You were clear. And now Ruth has a nice comment. Petra is Greek for rock. So are you saying that the name of the Edomite city was in Hebrew, Sela?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think I said it. Might be it was too short. That's the word. Petra is the Greek word. Petros is the guy from the big rock. So that is the explanation. It's rock science. It's not rocket science. It's rock science. That is the chart. And why is it? It was a very powerful city, the city of terror. They called it in one of the places of archaeology. It is called, they had, you see the entrance, you come down from below. If you have to go upstairs, very difficult to get to the city, full of rocks. Of course, that's a very strong place. And they had terrible cruelty in the war. It's also true that Amatziah, one of the kings, behaved very cruel to Edom, because they were cruel. Whoever started, you don't know in the war, who started, who was the reaction, who was the action, and who was reaction. Edom, it was no good neighborhood with them. But at the end, we will ask Edom, v'yashiru b'dachei Hashem. That's the power of Tehillim. Now, about Petra, and Har Sela and Har Seir, there are a lot of very interesting archaeological traditions or opinions. And I don't think it is clear. As much as I would like to give you exactly the location of Sela and Har Seir, it's the same neighborhood, it's the same area geographically. And that's where the war was. Might be Jews wanted to escape from Babel when they came and killed and destroyed Jerusalem. There was no way out, because in the south, the collaborators from Edom, they killed us. And think about Jewish history in the Holocaust. What happened in Poland, in Ukraine, in Slovakia? They did a great job, the local people. The Germans didn't have to do a lot. The Babylonians came to destroy. The other neighbors and the collaborators did a perfect job to kill us. Therefore, in 137, we ask for justice for everybody. In the Mizmor, in the next Mizmor, we invite all the nations be part of that. That's the beauty and the power of biblical ethics. You killed us? No. Hashem, be who you promised to be, Jeremiah 137, and continue that everybody will come to worship Hashem. I think that is such a tremendous new insight, which is, instead of saying there is no other way out than contextual interpretation, I say much more. Contextual interpretation reveals beautiful new insights and messages we haven't seen before, we didn't dream before.
Okay, thank you. I just want to add in, I should have said it before, Gershon's comment when he talked about Naroth Babel, on Naroth Babel, he said these are the canals that the exiles had to dig. And they are the pyramids that the exiles in Egypt did not have to build. So the canals that we dug into the Babel is maybe even worse than the experience in Egypt in terms of the slavery.
I couldn't understand that. Can you say it again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Where's my microphone?
that the canals that we have, he's saying that Al Nahr Ha-Ravel refers back to the canals that the exiles had to dig in Babel, as opposed to the pyramids, which we did not build in Egypt.
Interesting. Interesting. They're actually very interesting midrashim to compare that. I didn't bring them, but the midrash made also a connection that we had to build there in Babel. It was on the river, so our place was to work on the river. So that's an interesting comparison.
Very good. Okay, so I just want to say thank you very much, Rabbi Benny, for this wonderful, complex shiur. And I'd like to wish you and everyone else a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Everyone should have a happy Passover. And we'll see you on Chol HaMoed on Tuesday, 12:15 Eastern Time and 7:15 p.m. Israel Time.
It will be on Tehillah LeDavid 145. And the following shiur is on Psukei DeZimra. So it's worthwhile to read that in the flow. It's what we say every morning in Tfilat Shacharit.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Just a technical question.
Johanna would like to say a question. Yes.
First of all, Todah Rabah. This is enlightening and broadening, and it brought me to tears. Your broad interpretation. But the technical question is, when is Israel going on to daylight saving time?
Sorry?
On Thursday night, we will be going into daylight savings time. So next week, we'll already be, the next class will already be 7:15.
In other words, for the Sadarim, you will be on daylight saving time?
Yes.
Oh,
just
dear.
In time.
No, I thought it was right after that because it made it easier. Okay.
Right. That Thank would help. You. All right.
Yes. Well, you're still earlier than we are here. Okay. Chag Sameach v'Kasher.
Chag Sameach. Thanks for your participation, everybody. Toda rabba.
Thank you.
Chag Sameach, everybody. Well, please God, we'll see you soon.
Kol tov. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Thank you, Rabbi Jay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody.